To 1 Peter, please, in your Bibles, whether electronically or paper copy. If you need a Bible, there should be one near you in a chair. Love for you to be able to see the scriptures as we try to work through the book of 1 Peter. We are coming toward the end, and as you're turning, I want you just to check with me to see if you have a pulse this morning. Okay? Just, you know, do a little check there. See if you're still breathing, you're ready for this, because this particular text deals with anyone who has a pulse. And I believe, as far as I know, that would be all of us this morning. So I'm asking you to, hopefully as we've had opportunity to saturate our minds with who God is, I'm asking you to come to the text this morning with ears that want to hear. And we'll focus on chapter 5. And we'll start at the beginning of 5. We covered the first portion last week of chapter 5 and verse 5. But it says there, "You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders." That's where we left off. And then the next phrase will help us understand anyone with a pulse. "And all of you." So that would be everyone who is part of God's family, who understands the gospel. "All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time." Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. We have tried to, through our songs and in prayer, describe how mighty and glorious our God is. He is fully able in every way. He is the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God. He is great. And because of who he is, then we can understand who we are. And so this text calls us to see God accurately and then take our rightful place, which is a place of humility. It's a call for humility. In one sense, it's a text that is easy to preach because everyone wants God's grace. If you're a child of God, you want his grace in your life. And you want to have good relationships, right? That's what we all want. And so through this passage this morning, he's going to bring clarity of how that happens. Because grace flows when there is humility. When there's humility towards God and towards others. But it's also difficult because no one wants to really understand or really want to believe that we're proud, we're selfish, that we like to exalt ourselves. But humility is something, as this text says, that we all must chase after. All of you, clothe yourself, humble yourself. That is the call this morning. So I want to start by just looking at the idea of humility. What is humility? Well, I think in simple terms, just a simple idea, we'll start there. The idea is low or lowly, right? So the opposite would be pride or something that is high or something that is exalted. Humility is something that is low. We've said for years, if you want to be great, it's not original with me, but I love the phrase, if you want to be great, go low. That's how God designed life as a Christian. A more specific definition that may be helpful for you would be, humility is honestly assessing ourselves, not with just the standard in and of ourselves, but in light of God's holiness. And when we assess ourselves in light of God's holiness, remember the scripture tells us that God is light, perfectly light, and in him there is no darkness at all. He is incapable of sin. There's no sin in our God. So he is completely holy, completely pure. And so that's our standard for assessing our pride. So it's honestly looking at our hearts in light of God's holiness and then understanding our sinfulness. So this idea of humility, it's connected to things like deference, submission, respect, unselfishness, and we'll go through some of these things, Lord willing, next week when we really discuss clothing ourselves in humility towards one another. So we'll walk through some of those ideas. But it's an attitude where someone is willing to take a lowly position. Someone who is willing to voluntarily go low so that someone, and we start with our God, can be lifted high. That is the idea here of humility. This was a new concept because this would go against the ideas of Greek culture. So as Peter and others, James, Proverbs have introduced these ideas of humility, it was new concept in the culture and the world in which these things were written, because in the Greek culture there was a strong emphasis on having personal respect and personal pride and not really acknowledging that you had faults or failures, because that would acknowledge that there was weakness. And so for a Christian, this is a concept that matches the heart of God, not the culture around us. I was thinking about a song that many actually hear, probably in the generation that I grew up in. You may not have been familiar, probably many of you are, but it was called "The Greatest Love of All." And this is how the chorus went. "Because the greatest love of all is happening to me, I found the greatest love of all inside of me. The greatest love of all is easy to achieve. Learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all." Now, that may sound good and it may be catchy. You may have grown up on that idea and the culture that surrounds that. But even in the 80s and 90s, and here we are in 2021, our culture still believes the same idea. Because the self-made man and loving yourself and respecting yourself, you see that message infiltrate almost every area of our culture. Where life is about you, and you got to protect yourself, and you got to be yourself. Which basically is that simple idea. From a man-made perspective, you got to love yourself. This is the opposite of that perspective. When we talk about humility, it's actually wanting to see less of yourself and more of Christ. It's forgetting me, desiring more of Him. And so there's this tension, not only in our culture, but there's this tension in our own hearts because of our flesh, right? So it's around us in the world, in the message, in the portrayal of humanism, but it's also in our own hearts. We don't have to teach children to be proud. Small children on a playground or even in the classroom or doing a little project or whatever, you don't have to teach pride. It comes out naturally. And it stays with us all of our life because we think we are the center of our world. So when you become a Christian and we understand that our lives are no longer about us, that we actually have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and He purchased us and He now owns us, our lives become about Jesus Christ. And so there's this tension not only in the world around us, but in our own hearts day in, day out, because we want to rob the glory that God alone deserves. We are very good glory thieves, as one writer has put it so clearly. And it's something that we don't just get a handle on it and then we're good to go. You may have wrestled with your heart and pride in times past, and then you realize, wow, 30 minutes later, I'm back where I was. I'm thinking about myself. I want to be first place in this situation. The life of a believer is to be the pursuit of humility. We are supposed to constantly assess ourselves in the light of God's holiness and our own sinfulness. Now, I want to start in our communication about this text with God. I want to start with God's perspective of humility. And so we'll kind of work a little bit, not in order here in verse 5. We're going to jump a little bit, and we'll come back to humility with others, Lord willing, next week. But I want to talk about God's perspective of humility. And I think you'll find it interesting, and I hope it's encouraging to you, if you're supposed to pursue this, that the scriptures tell us that God actually loves humility. If you want to love and be a part of what God is favorable to, then you will pursue humility. That's what God loves. He loves a heart that will go low. This passage here that is quoted, you'll see probably in your text, maybe in a little different format. It says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You'll find that in James as well as Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 34. But there are many passages in Scripture that talk about God's perspective, that he hates pride, which is the opposite of humility, but he gives, or he's inclined to humility. Let's look at Isaiah 66 and verse 2. For my hand made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. You want to know what God thinks of humility? He loves it. In fact, he says he sets his gaze. God's gaze is on those who are humble. We want his look. We want his favor. We want God to be inclined towards us. And there's a way to get that and to see that and to experience it. And it's by saying, God, less of me, more of you. Another passage of Scripture, Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus says the Lord, or thus says the high and exalted one, who lives forever, whose name is holy. I dwell on high and a holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and revive the heart of the contrite. It says that he dwells not only on high and in the holy place, but his presence is with those who are of a lowly spirit, those who are seeking humility. So why do we chase after humility? Why do we pursue it? Because we want God's gaze on our lives, and we want God's presence and his grace to flow. Now, we understand who God is from this one text. He is the high and holy one. He is exalted. That's who our God is. He is the one who deserves all glory. From start to finish, from creation to the end, it's all about God and his glory. We get to enjoy his creation and be part of it. We get to enjoy his redemption, and we look forward to the day when we will spend eternity with him, but it will always be about God and his glory. The amazing thing is that this one who is high and lofty, it says that he delights, he loves, his gaze and his presence is upon those who seek after humility. God says, I delight in these people. You want to please the Lord with your life? Pursue humility. Fight your flesh with the power of the Holy Spirit. Fight against the other voices in your life that are very loud and clear, that would love to tell you that life is about you and you should protect your own rights and your own interests and life is, you know, for you and the pleasure that's there. No. Life is about God, and we are encouraged and really commanded to go low and seek after his glory and his glory alone. I think some of you probably can relate. We're just coming off the summer season, and I'm actually very thankful of that for many reasons. A beautiful fall day. But there is one thing that I don't particularly enjoy, and that's watering plants. And I know you have to water plants in the wintertime, but a year or so ago, I planted a bunch of flowers and bushes in our yard, and we did not put in a sprinkler system. And while I thought that would be a good idea at the time to save money and time and all that, you know what you end up paying for standing there every night, you know, watering the bushes for the first 3 months. You know, it's not the most enjoyable experience. And maybe some of you love that. Maybe it's more like therapy in the evening and you like to go out and be a part of your plants. I don't. But what is so frustrating when you have that garden hose and you know, because it stretches out across the whole front of the house, you know, put a couple hoses together, and what is so frustrating is when what happens? When you get a kink, right? So you can be there and then you see it way over there. Oh, you got to put the hose down and then go over here and then go back. And as soon as you make one little tug, what happens? It kinks again. Now, I think there are those hoses that aren't supposed to kink. I didn't invest in that. But years ago, I was challenged to think about humility and God's grace in regards to a garden hose. We love God's grace, and we love it when it flows. And he tells us how that can flow in our lives. The flow of God's grace comes when we go low and we humble ourselves. But the sure way to kink the flow of grace in our lives is to live with pride. Right? That small little life is about me. I deserve. I earned this. Those small thoughts are like those little kinks in the hose that you stand there like, what now? And you look back, oh, there it is. From God's perspective, he says, my gaze will be upon you, my presence will be with you, and my grace will flow to your life if you seek humility. If you fight your flesh in the constant desire to set up ourselves above him, above other things in our lives, self-exaltation, it's the very essence of sin. That's where Satan got it wrong. He wanted to be like the Most High God. When I have a high opinion of myself, when I have a high view of how I should be treated, I am self-centered. Perhaps even then it would flow into, I want others to submit. Pride has a high view of our own personal desires, our own personal opinions, our own comforts. And sometimes when we're proud, we want to make sure that we get the credit for everything that's happening. Sometimes it's good to think about humility in regards to a priority list. A humble person is always seeking to move down on the list. Who's willing to go low? And they want to see God go high, and they want others to go high. And they themselves go low. But a proud person wants to always move up. Wants to be the top priority. And then we start to move God down and we move others down. This verse here in 1 Peter says that God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So from God's perspective, he loves humility, but he is opposed to the proud. Not only that, I would suggest from the scripture of Proverbs chapter 6, it says that God hates pride. So you want God's presence, you want his gaze upon your life, you want his grace to flow, but when we hold on to pride, what's actually taking place is he hates what he sees in your life. He doesn't hate you. But he hates the pride. It's an abomination to the Lord, says very clearly. contrary to our society's emphasis on self and accomplishment and in selfish ambition, God's perspective is crystal clear. God is actually provoked to go against. And this idea of opposed is to create a resistance. It's the idea of a rebellion. It's like setting up an army to stop the progression. That's what God does to that. So we look at this and we read that. Oh, God is opposed to the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Okay, that's great. I want to be humble. No, God is opposed to the pride in our hearts. He actually is provoked against it. He sets up an opposition against it. It's something that he cannot stand. So this is no small matter. Because I know sometimes the temptation is to think, oh, well, you know, I don't really do the really bad stuff. And we have this misconstrued idea of sin categories and all kinds of things. I realize that different sins have different consequences. But it's all an assault against the holiness of God. And so at the very core of our heart, pride is something that God hates and he actually opposes us for. So you want a kink in your hose in the flow of God's grace, hold on to your pride. You're sure to get it. And no one wants that. There's not one follower of Christ who would say, boy, I don't want God's grace in my life. No, we want his grace. Sometimes we're not willing to do what it takes in obedience to be able to see that happen and flow in our lives. Here's another text, Matthew 23, verse 12. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled. Whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. So we have these scripture references that really helps us understand that pride will be brought low. When we think that life is about us and our rights and we deserve, God will bring things into our lives to bring us back to a place of dependency upon him, where we understand, you know what? Everything is from him and to him and through him, and it's all about his glory. But he's opposed to the proud. He gives grace. He exalts those who are humble. Why does God oppose the proud? Why does he do that? I think because, as I mentioned earlier, it's assault on his glory. There's only one true God. There's only one who is truly mighty. And he deserves to be top on the priority list. And yet many times we want to take that place from him. And we want to set ourselves up there. We want to be exalted. And many times we're competing with the glory that he rightfully deserves. He deserves all the attention, even though we try to get some. As Matt even prayed, I was listening to the different things and applications in way of confession, and as simple as we just want people to notice us. So how many this morning are guilty of that very basic idea? Where we came into worship when it's about God and our thoughts are centered around ourselves and who's going to notice us and who's going to serve us and who's going to be kind to us and who's going to... You see how easy it is to let pride control and rule our thoughts and minds? And here we are at a place of worship of all places where we sing about the holiness of God and his glorious redemption. And we say that it is about him and he is in the center. And many times it's always about us. And that application can be made, as Matt did even through his prayer, through every area of our lives, our relationships, our work. This is an area that touches every part of our lives. When we accomplish anything, God deserves the credit. But we love to take the credit. Now, maybe we don't say that out loud, but we certainly enjoy the praises of men. And we relish in it. And sometimes when it's not there, we long for it. And we want it. We are not God. He alone is God. He is the creator. We are the creation. And we are to go low. One writer said this, at every stage of our Christian development, and in every sphere of our Christian discipleship, pride is the greatest enemy and humility is our greatest friend. Have you thought about that recently? Think about it. Our greatest enemy in regards to discipleship is our pride. And our greatest friend is humility. Perhaps you're in a season where you're not growing, you're not changing, there's not a lot going on in your life spiritually, and maybe this is the place to start. Maybe it's within ourselves and our own pride that is hindering the flow of grace. We need His grace at every point in our life. So that's God's perspective. He loves humility. His gaze is upon the humble. His presence is there, and His grace is flowing there. But the opposite is true for the proud. He hates it. It's an abomination. He sets himself up against it. He is opposed. It provokes him. So that's his perspective. Now then, what's our responsibility? I would suggest our responsibility is to pursue it. Pursue humility. That should be man's pursuit. It's a pursuit to go low under our glorious God. To go low. To humble ourselves. To take the priority list of our lives and knock ourselves as low as possible and set God and everybody up higher than us. And if everyone is seeking to do that, what great harmony and peace and what kind of relationships we can have. And we'll talk about that, Lord willing, here, that as we clothe ourselves with humility with others, then things go really, really well. But when there's pride there, God's grace stops flowing. I want us to just talk about a few things. You may not be able to take all these notes, and we'll have them PDF file for you if you would like them. But I just want to kind of take the next few minutes and walk through some things about how we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. If we are supposed to pursue it, and verse 6 says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. How do we do that? Practically speaking. What should we be thinking about? What should we be kind of preaching to ourselves on a regular basis to fight the pride that's in our hearts and the culture that is all around us? Well, I think true humility means that we remember and we admit, number one, I only exist because God created me. You say, of course, yeah, I believe that. I'm a believer in God. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so if we want to go low, and we want to have the process of humility that is flowing through our lives, I think it's important that we regularly think about truth and how we relate to it. And number one, I would suggest it has to start with God. I only exist because God created me. It is only by His mercy that I have anything. I would say as well, I only continue to exist because He sustains me. I only continue to exist. So I asked you if you had a pulse today. Do you realize it's because of God's grace that you still have a pulse? It is the sustaining work of our glorious God who is allowing you to breathe this very moment. When we think about our lives in relationship to who God is, and we preach truths to ourselves on a regular basis, because we get very good at really thinking about life and how well we do, what we accomplish, how much that we can do with the abilities and skills that, yeah, by the way, they came from God and God alone. But if we realize that we only exist because God is sustaining me, then that helps us recalibrate our minds to really go low. that is because God and God alone, and it's his glory that is very, very important, and my comfort really isn't. If he is the creator, I'm the creation, he's the sustainer, I only exist because of him, then it's really not about my comfort. And as Westerners, we love our comfort. We love things to go very, very well for us. Even in regards to church life and how easy it is for us to serve the Lord in this place. Someone sent me just yesterday, there were 17 missionaries captured and kidnapped in Haiti from a Christian aid organization that's serving down there workers and family members. We don't have to worry about that right now here for the most part. We love our comfort. And because we're so comfortable, many times we forget it's the God that is, our glorious God who's given us that comfort. And when trials come and persecution comes, we start to realize, oh yeah, it really wasn't us the whole time. It actually has always been God. But we don't need persecution to bring us to that point. The truth of the text can. The truth can bring us on a regular basis to a place of lowliness where we're willing to exalt our God and we go low no matter our circumstances, whether full of comfort or not. It's always about God and his glory. God deserves attention. I don't. We're so good at hanging on to our personal desires that we then transfer and think they're personal rights. I deserve this. I deserve better. And really, in light of our glorious God, it is only God who deserves attention and the glory forever and ever. God deserves respect, and I really don't. God deserves respect. So when you go to your workplace tomorrow and you go in with a certain set of expectations that, yeah, your skills may be great and over 20 years you've refined them and you do a lot for your company. Wonderful. By the way, that only came by God's grace. So when you go to work tomorrow and you go into the workplace, whatever form that takes, go with the perspective that, you know what, it's only about God and his work in my life, and I'm tempted to want to be respected. I'm tempted to for people to acknowledge how great I am and how much I've done for this organization, but God, keep me from that. Keep you in the center of my thoughts so that I will go low, because God, you're the one that deserves attention. You're the one that deserves all the glory and honor. I really don't. You see how it's easy for our flesh to seep in. And so preaching these truths to ourselves on a regular basis, it helps us fulfill the command and what God has said very clearly, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. God is mighty. He is the creator. He is the sustainer. It's all about him. It's all about his glory. He deserves the attention. He deserves the respect. When I think that way, then I take my rightful place. But when I let pride seep into my heart, then things really start to go sideways. God knows all things, and I know very little. This will be real helpful when we come to the next passage, when it talks about anxiety and cares and how to handle anxiety. It's very clear. God knows. He knows all things. And I don't. And that's his design. So I will walk by faith and I will trust him. Even when I don't know what is happening and I don't know what the future holds. So while God knows the past and the future and I do not. Another just kind of list to help us preach truths to ourselves and bring us to a place where we can pursue humility. Let's just talk about just our lives in general as it relates to a holy God. Number one, I am a sinner. both by my nature and my actions, and I have offended his holiness every single day. For all have sinned and fallen short of his glory. We fall short of his glory from day one. I am a sinner. I am totally depraved. I am dead in my trespasses and sins. And his glorious grace comes into my life. And it's a wonderful thing, the work of salvation that he does. But it starts with a simple sinner. That's who I am. Now the process of making me holy, we call it sanctification, that happens and it starts at the beginning when we come to know Jesus Christ personally. It happens there, but it's not completed till we see him face to face. And so every single day I still continue to fall short of the glory of God. That's who I am. I am a sinner. I'm a redeemed sinner and there's no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ. I have no judgment waiting for me, but I am still full of myself. And we have to acknowledge that. Sometimes Christians get to the place where we feel like we're doing okay, and really we're not ever. We can't do okay in and of ourselves. I am only alive on this earth because he has not given me what I really deserve. What I really deserve is judgment. As his created being, who has consistently robbed him of his glory, fallen short of his glory, lived contrary to his will, what I really deserve is punishment and judgment. And in Jesus Christ, he's taken that all away. So I'm only alive today because of him. So why not let him be the priority? Even my best efforts to save myself, they're worthless. There's no merit in and of ourselves that can attain salvation, any kind of atonement or merit. It's only found in Jesus Christ. Christ saved me, not on the merits of anything I did, but because of Christ's free and abundant love and grace. So we preach the gospel to ourselves all the time. That's where we start. We preach the gospel to ourselves. The gospel's message isn't something to be believed at one point in our life when God saves us and then we kind of put it on the shelf. No, the gospel message is what controls our life every single day until we see Jesus. So we keep going back to it. I'm a sinner separated from God. It's only by his grace that he provided a sacrifice for me. Jesus is my Messiah, and it's only because of him that I can operate, live, and move. It's his love and grace, and he owns me because he is my creator and my redeemer. And that really has to constantly be something that we wrestle with. God owns our lives. When we want to be in the center of our world, in the center of what's going on, we must bring our minds back to truth and submit to it. Where we acknowledge that he owns my life. A few things more and then we'll close. True humility means remembering and admitting, I can think and talk and walk today because he allows it. And there's no guarantee that I will be able to think or walk or talk tomorrow. And I realize that that can sound cliche, but it's absolutely true. We don't know what tomorrow holds. The text of Scripture tells us that. And so we must live dependent on our God. And as we declare our dependence upon him and acknowledge that it's only by his grace and strength that we are anything every single day, that helps us to stay low. And it helps the flow of grace to flow in our lives. Any good thing I ever do is only because his grace empowered it. Boy, if we could wrestle with this, choose to believe it, and then live it, wow. We would make great strides in humility. That is, there is absolutely nothing we can do in and of ourselves to create good. It is only because of our glorious and mighty God. Any good thing I ever have done in my life, it's because of Him. These truths help us go low. Every strength and every gift is because He freely granted it. Everything. It all comes from Him. Every dollar I have ever earned was by His allowance, and tomorrow I could lose it all if He were to will it. Scripture is very clear. He gives us the ability to make wealth. Sometimes we start to get to the place where it's like, well, I've done quite a bit. You know, I've accomplished a lot. And no, we haven't. It was all His good gifts. They all come from His wonderful, kind hand. Any strength, any ability, it always is from Him. We must continue to go low. Any success in my family has been due to His gracious working. Anything, in any relationship that you have, it's only because of His working. Any progress in my sanctification is only because it's His mighty power working in me. Any progress in any area of our lives as it relates to Jesus Christ, it's only because of Him. What God wants for my life is all that really matters. His will, His word, and His way. It's the only thing that really matters. So many times when it's about us, it becomes our will, what we want, and the way we think life should go. And His truth brings us back to a place where it's like, no, that's really not the case. It's always about Him. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. What's God's perspective? He loves this. When we pursue humility, He loves it. His gaze is upon us, His presence is there, and His grace flows through us. But the moment we move into self-mode, self-exaltation, pride, arrogance, a little kink in the hose, and His grace stops flowing. And so every day, all day, we have to wrestle with our flesh. We have to counteract the voices that are in our culture saying that it's about you and your life and your ease and your happiness. And fill in the blank, the list can go on and on. But moment by moment, we need to admit these truths and we need to embrace them. And they will help us as we fulfill this simple command. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And watch Him exalt us. Not in a way that our flesh wants to mess that up. It's an exaltation where His grace and His presence is there. And He's able to use us because we're broken, usable vessels. So this morning, if you're here once again with a pulse, because God is allowing you to continue to breathe in this very moment. When is the last time you wrestled with this area of pride? Where you've really taken a good assessment of your heart in light of God's holiness? Perhaps the spigot of grace isn't flowing because you have chosen to exalt yourself in areas of your life above the one who deserves that place. And this is a call to change that, to go low, to repent, to turn of it, Not in perfection, it won't be here until we see Jesus. But a pursuit. My heart is pursuing to let Jesus be the center, to treasure him more. And forget me. And then it flows to loving others. Would you bow with me as we close this morning? Take just a few moments of personal evaluation. In the evaluation, I would suggest preaching the truth to yourself. God, I only exist because of you. I only continue to exist because you sustain me. I rob you of your glory and it's not mine. You deserve the attention. You deserve respect. I'm a sinner saved by grace. My best efforts on my own are just simply worthless apart from you. Any good thing in this life has come because of your grace and your love. Every strength, every dollar, every success, every step of progress, God, it only came from you. Preach the truth to yourself and then go low. Pursue humility. God, thank you for the truth of your word. I pray that you would minister to us through your Spirit's power to accomplish your glorious purposes today. I pray that we would be a people who desire to go low, that we would want to exalt you in every area of our life. We want your gaze, we want your presence, and we want your grace. So God, help us to pursue this life of humility. Thank you that you love us and that you accept us. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. But Lord, help us to work out our salvation in this way. We're so thankful for who you are and what you've done for us. Thank you for our time this morning. In your name, amen.